You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN. This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
With my iPhone, download new iOS, all my voicemails disappear. Maybe there's voices on there that maybe I don't have around anymore.
I did not do what is in this story.
I had a Kim Mulkey voicemail on.
No, you didn't.
Tell me, somebody's in the loo. Better see who it is.
What was that one?
Skip the stories.
Oh, skip the stories.
What's wrong with you?
It's too hot to be at Sesame Place all day.
Cookie Monster and Oscar Pistorius.
This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
I'm hearing a lot of stuff that the Falcons are going heavy after Belichick.
On 98.7 ESPN.
A little bit of everything so far today, as you would expect. DNR, Dan and Rick, 98.7 ESPN, 800-919-3776 is the telephone number. A little bit of everything this morning. NCAA tournament down to the Sweet 16, been mostly chalk, but it's still been a good tournament nonetheless, and we'll get into that in detail as we get closer to Thursday and the resumption of games as they take a little break for a few days. So Shohei Ohtani is going to speak later on this afternoon as we get to hear him or his interpreter's thoughts on what's been happening for the last few days. Opening day Thursday, at least in these parts, Mets at home for the Milwaukee Brewers, Yankees down in Houston. So we'll see where those two teams are shaping up as we get ready for the opener. And we heard from Robert Saleh speaking down at the owners' meetings down in Florida. And kind of what you expect him to say, Rick, right, as far as the offseason acquisitions, how last year unfolded. Aaron Rodgers is going to be good to go once the offseason program rolls around. But I don't think anything revelatory as far as what came out of the mouth of the Jets head coach today.
No, I don't know. I mean, what else he was going to say, right? I mean, the hope is, I mean, look, Aaron was pushing to play at the end of last season. So I think we all expected that, come spring, he'd be ready to go, which it sounds like he will be, which is exactly what you want to hear. And then on top of that, I mean, Joe Douglas has addressed some of the issues that this team dealt with last year, right? Offensive line on paper should be better. I know you've answered questions with kind of, players that still do have some questions surrounding them, like Tyron Smith's health. Can he stay healthy? Did they find something in Dallas last year that's going to allow him to do that? And then on top of that, I mean, Robert Saleh knows what the season means for him and what the season means for Joe Douglas. They have to win. There are no more excuses. They need to make the playoffs. And if they don't, then there's going to have to be changes.
Speaking of, by the way, Adam sends a tweet in here, and he said, why not bring Mekhi Becton back as insurance instead of David Bakhtiari? I know that Mekhi Becton had a visit with the Cincinnati Bengals. Obviously, they didn't come to any sort of a contract agreement. I don't even know if a contract was offered, but it's not exactly like the rest of the league is beating down his door. And I think that those two sides, maybe a mutual parting is probably the best for both parties when it comes to Becton and the Jets. I don't think that that's a direction that they would look to go into to bring him back. And I don't think he would like to be back because I don't think there's a starting spot for him right now. He's not going to be a guy that's going to stand on the sidelines.
No, he needs a fresh start.
Yeah. He needs a fresh start and he wants to play.
Right, but that was one of the bigger problems too last year is that the left side of our line actually stayed healthy but wasn't good.
Right. Well, you might as well, who cares? It's a revolving door, right?
Right, but I mean, you actually had when Mekhi Becton was healthy, yeah, and Laken Tomlinson was healthy, but they just weren't good.
Right, and that's the other part. You think about, too, like the guys that were former Jets, Mekhi Becton, Laken Tomlinson, Carl Lawson, like those type of guys, there's really not a heck of a lot of interest from around the league. Like, you're not hearing their names being thrown around, so doesn't that tell you something, Rick, right?
Yeah.
That they just needed to upgrade the personnel. Doesn't matter how good of a dude they are or anything, but they just had to get better at those key spots.
Yeah, that was one of the more disappointing signings, too. I mean, I had high hopes for Laken Tomlinson.
Great. I mean, there's not a better guy. And I'm pulling for him, and I hope he lands on his feet. Just, it's very weird that that didn't work out because, first of all, he was signed here because he knew the system in San Francisco, played at a high level in San Francisco. Right. He was a Pro Bowler. And then came here and it just never clicked for some reason.
No, it didn't. Maybe I take blame for that because I smashed him with the tortilla in the face.
Why would you do that?
Well, we had the tortilla challenge, and I beat him up a little bit. So maybe it's on me, but...
Oh, yeah. Rick just got slapped right across the face.
It didn't work out.
By the way, Ray, did you see this? It was making the rounds over the last couple of days, I guess, on social media. And it's not real, so maybe we should just, like, throw cold water on it because I don't want people to think one thing. Did you see some stupid video that was circulating about Carl Lawson, that he was at a Walmart and he got his you-know-what kicked by just some other guy, like, getting into Did you see this?
I did not see this. That's
it's a fake concerning. Video.
I saw the video, yeah.
First of all, it's not Carl Lawson. If you know anything about it, it's not him, okay? Number two, apparently that same video first started making the rounds on the internet like 2 years ago. It's not him. And people, of course, like, you know, you hear a rumor and you run with it. They were making it as if this happened like over the weekend.
Troubling.
Yeah, it's not. Carl Lawson did not get beat up at a Walmart by, you know, some just yo-yo customer buying Tide.
Yeah, that was not a great effort by the guy that did get beat up.
No, and he was bigger than the guy, too.
Yeah, bigger. Balance was in question.
Balance was terrible. It was like he was on skates.
It was awful, yeah.
You can't have that.
X does give you like a little thing where it's like, this video is not real. This is not that person.
And they didn't tell you that.
Well, they did. On this one, now mine, when I saw it, they did.
Oh, they did, because the one that I saw, you didn't. People were just assuming that it was him because one person wrote it, and then everybody just believes everything that's being, you know, posted anyway.
That's another one that didn't work out for us.
No, it didn't.
No, at all.
And that one was mysterious last year because coming into the season, he was still supposed to be the guy. And then, you know, he had the back injury, but everybody thought that he was going to be A-okay. And then he was a healthy scratch on that season opener. And it just never got any better.
Never got any better. How much do you think losing Bryce Huff is going to affect us?
I don't think it's something that'll sink the defense.
I'm not saying sink the defense, but is there a real chance? Now, Jermaine Johnson, give him credit, because he was really good for us last year. Is there a chance we get that same kind of, that leap a little bit from Will McDonald here in year two or no?
Well, you're going to have to, number one. I don't know if it's going to be a Jermaine Johnson size leap, but hey, Jadeveon Clowney was in for a visit. There's still a possibility that he's a Jet, and that's a guy. Look, I know that he didn't turn into the next Lawrence Taylor like people thought he was when he was coming into the league, but he's still a guy that in the right system with, you know, remember that Ravens defense last year, very productive. He had a career high in sacks last year, and I think that Clowney comes in, he's a situational rush guy off the edge. He could produce. He could give you what Bryce Huff gave you if he's also playing, you know, 40% of the snaps.
All right. So, I mean, and the report I read yesterday is that the Jets and Clowney have stayed in consistent contact.
Yeah, because you know what the Jets did? They said, here's what we'd like to offer you.
Yep.
Shop around, see if you could do better. If not, come back, and we're more than happy to bring you in. And that's how Joe Douglas goes about his business. That's how he's done it the whole offseason.
Yeah, see, that's the one thing, though. And I guess I should be happy about it just because, I mean, even when Joe Douglas is gone, I'm still going to be a Jets fan. So whatever he decides he's doing this year is going to affect me at some point down the road anyway. And maybe I should give him more credit. Because I don't know if I would be reacting to the amount of pressure that I'm under as well as Joe Douglas is reacting to it.
Well, I think they also look at it, too, is remember, the draft is coming up. They can go out there and still get a pass rusher in this draft at some point. And remember, Bryce Huff was undrafted. They found him as an undrafted free agent during the COVID year. You know, 2020 is when they signed him. So I'm sure that that same administration feels that they could go out there and still find somebody that could put some heat on the passer, maybe not to that extent. But they believe in their system. They believe in their depth. You know, it's so weird too, Rick, because they've done a good job bringing talent onto this team, but it hasn't reflected that way on Sundays and in the standings. Because the last 2 years, cut down day at the end of training camp, like the Jets have like some of the highest number of players that get cut from their team that get scooped up immediately by other clubs. Right? So it's almost like the roster is too good that these guys can't even stick around, but yet when the games are actually played, somehow they're losing more often than they're winning these games.
Yeah, which points to what?
A lot of things.
Well, I think what's number one on that list, though, would point to? Talented teams that don't win.
Coaching?
Right.
Or injuries?
Well, both.
Right. You know, I think injuries also play a role.
Yeah, right. They've dealt with both. But, I mean, and you also, I mean, the whole Zach Wilson thing didn't work out. I don't think Nathaniel Hackett is great at what he does. Right? There are a lot of questions as to whether Robert Saleh is a good head coach. I mean, the one consistent unit has been the defense. Does anyone question what kind of coach Jeff Ulbrich is?
No.
No, right.
I'll tell you this, though. Nathaniel Hackett, big fan of the West Coast Open, though. Confirm that.
Oh, great. Well, if he supports, then yeah, we've got to do it.
The West Coast Open is a thing. We said we need to talk about the Giants, and we do. Right now, okay, because you and I haven't talked about this for a while. I know which way the wind is blowing and all those things. If I told you, you know, tonight is round one of the NFL draft, and the Giants are still there at number six, they haven't traded up yet, what are they doing with that number six pick?
I would say right now, today,
mm-hmm.
Does anyone else trade up, or this is just we're going same order?
Same order. You don't even have to give me a name. Give me just position.
I would say they probably take a quarterback.
Okay.
But here's the thing, though, and this is why there might be a little bit of hesitancy in my voice, is that since Joe Shane has taken over this job, and it feels like, you know, the New York Giants are being run professionally.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Joe Shane feels like he knows what he's doing. Like, go back to when they drafted Kayvon Thibodeau.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there was, as far as we heard, they didn't even like Kayvon Thibodeau. And it was like, well, because that's what they wanted you to think, that they didn't like Kayvon Thibodeau, and they end up drafting him with a fifth overall pick. If they really wanted to draft a quarterback, would they let it be this known that they were interested in a quarterback?
Right. Why would you let it get out if it's that obvious? You're only sabotaging yourself, potentially.
Right. Unless you're doing this on purpose, so you want everyone to believe that you want a quarterback, and now you get Malik Nabers at six, which is something, you know, something you need also that you don't have. But it just seems like their situation is too perfect to not draft a quarterback. I think there's probably a lot more pressure on them than they thought there would be after winning a playoff game. Like, you heard it last year. There were people, like your buddy Don was even saying it. Well, can he coach? Is this a Joe Judge situation? So, I mean, it's different here. I think that, you know, winning the playoff game kind of fast-forwarded their process a little bit. But you got Daniel Jones, who you can get out of his deal after this season.
Right, he's gone after this year.
Right, so who's, is it going to be Drew Lock? You have the sixth overall pick. I mean, it feels like this would be the time to do it if you're going to do it.
Yeah, but you know what's interesting, though, Rick? And all teams operate this way. What if, and like you said, what if this is all a smokescreen? What if the Giants aren't in love with any of these first-round quarterback prospects? That instead, maybe they're going to look to take a guy in the second round or, you know, later on in the draft, and they think that he's going to be just as good. And maybe, just maybe, because they already have eyes on the quarterbacks that are coming into the draft for next year. Remember, they've been scouting these guys for years. So yep. they got the intel on them. What if they think next year's crop is even better? And they say, I'm not going to use a premium selection on a quarterback in 2024. I'm going to wait till next year because those guys are even better. That could happen.
I guess it could. But, I mean, are you guaranteed that you're going to have a next year?
What do you mean? Like, the world is going to end? Like Armageddon?
No.
Like, we're going to have a next
year?
No, no.
Is there a world we live in where Daniel Jones stinks and they win, you know, five games?
Giants could win the Super Bowl this year, and Daniel Jones, I think, will still be playing someplace else next year.
Okay, but what if they have a terrible season?
Oh, he's gone. It doesn't change.
No, I'm saying Brian Daboll. Is Brian Daboll going to be here to select that quarterback?
Well, see, that's one thing that drafting a quarterback does for you. I think it does give most guys job security.
Right. It buys you time.
Buys you time. Because you could say, like, if we stink this year, well, I'm developing a rookie quarterback. What do you expect?
Right.
But they're also not going to reach for a guy. Like, if they don't think these guys grade out like a first-round prospect should, maybe they don't take them.
No, I'm with you. And I'm 100% with you. Like, I mean, I just think their situation would make sense for a bunch of different reasons, right? Like, you don't have to rush the kid because you got Daniel Jones. Brian Daboll has already said it. When Daniel Jones is healthy and they feel like he'll be healthy to start the season, he's going to be the starting quarterback. So you don't have to rush the kid, right? I think that's a huge positive. Brian Daboll is the head coach. That's a huge positive, right? And on top of that, I think it buys you more time. It buys Joe Shane and Brian Daboll more time because the Giants are rebuilding. That's what they're doing right now. The Giants are not that good. They're
Agreed.
Rebuilding. But but because of what they did in year one, there's more pressure than there really should be as they're going through the rebuild. Why what do you think they're going to do?
No, I just remembered I forgot to pay for my parking.
Of course, because God forbid we pay attention to stuff like that. Did you take a picture of your parking space today?
No, I took a picture of the zone. Ray, why don't you remind me?
That's a bad job by me, but hurry up. You should be okay.
I hope you get a ticket.
The meter maid doesn't go around.
Talk for 2 seconds.
I hope you get a ticket.
Talk for 2 seconds.
That's mean.
No, the Tom Pelissero talked to Brian Daboll, or vice versa. Is it you could say the other. I mean, they did talk to each other, right? I don't think you have to sit here and be specific.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
So Brian Daboll talked to Tom Pelissero, the NFL Network, and he said, talking about the quarterbacks, quote, "We're excited to have Drew, and he knows what his role is going to be," talking about Drew Lock. "He's going to get a lot of reps this spring. He needs to learn our system, but again, excited to get Daniel back. When he gets back, he'll be the guy."
Yeah, of course he'll be the guy. But will he be the bridge guy to whoever you draft? Right?
Well, I mean, that depends on if you're taking that guy this year.
Yeah, well, I mean, it depends on which guy you want. Like, if it's, we would love Drake May, but if Drake May goes three or someone trades a heady to get Drake May and we just don't love J.J. McCarthy that much, then maybe you don't take a quarterback.
By the way, I'm going to throw this out there. Shot in the dark. We've seen crazier things happen on draft day.
Yep.
Because one of the other callers brought that up earlier in the show, like the Jets did this 30 years ago with Kyle Brady. How about at six? Ready for this? Giants go Brock Bowers.
No.
No, I'm just saying, stranger things have happened.
No, they're not going to go Brock Bowers at six, I don't think. Dave may go missing. I'm letting you know that now.
They look at it as, you know, maybe we don't like the wide receivers, but this guy's a weapon. So many different ways he can impact the offense. We take him. Just throwing it out there. I don't think it's going to happen either, but hey, you can never slam the door shut on any possibility these days.
No, I wouldn't slam the door shut. I mean, listen, I think he's awesome.
Because they'll look at it as they're going to give Daniel Jones a guy. That's all.
Well, yeah. They need a wide receiver. They need a number one wide receiver, too, though. And they've done nothing in free agency.
Nothing.
Nothing.
And to be fair, okay, shortcomings, you like Daniel Jones, you don't like Daniel Jones. But to be absolutely fair, have they ever given him a game? When was the last time the Giants had a game-breaking wide receiver?
Well, they haven't.
Odell Beckham. He's the closest thing they've had to it, right? And they didn't win. But Daniel Jones has never had anything close to it. The best weapon he had in the huddle with him all these years was a running back. And his offensive line was shoddy. The wide receivers were basically guys that they pulled off the street. So even when John Mara says we've done everything we could to screw up this kid, yeah, I agree. So do they give like one last-ditch effort to try to get the best football out of Daniel Jones by giving him a weapon this year? Or are they going to use that first-round pick to draft his successor? Because if they do draft, the quarterback of the future with the first-round pick, if I'm Daniel Jones, I'm coming into this year like, doesn't surprise me. You haven't done anything to help me anyways, so why should the last year be any different?
Right, but you also, I would say to Daniel Jones, like, you haven't stayed healthy. Like, if I'm going to hitch my wagon to something, it's not going to be someone that's not available, right?
Well, they've given him a good offensive line to stay healthy?
No, I don't think they have. But still, I mean, you're talking about two neck injuries. You're talking about a knee now. I mean, that's you can blame them. You can blame whoever you want. When push comes to shove, he's the one that's had the injuries. He's the one that's missed time. If I'm Brian Daboll and Joe Shane, do I want to... Like, do I want to connect myself to him? Like, am I happy hitching myself to that wagon? No, you're not. I like my job too much to hitch myself to that wagon.
To Daniel Jones, you're saying?
Yeah, right.
Well, I think it's obvious, though,
that
the hitch is going to be gone after this year. No more hitch.
Right, so why would you... either way, right, if you draft, if it's Malik Nabers, if it's whatever you end up drafting, Brock Bowers, if you don't take a quarterback, whoever you draft is going to help whoever you end up drafting anyway. So if you want to say, hey, let's give it one more shot with Daniel Jones, get the best out of him, maybe he becomes an asset at some point that we can move, whatever you decide to do, like, it's going to help whatever quarterback you take becomes your franchise quarterback after Daniel Jones.
Here's one thing I won't buy, though. Remember how you said, you know, if you draft the quarterback in the first round, it buys you time, which I'm in agreement with. But if you take the quarterback instead in the mid rounds, like, let's say it's Spencer Rattler.
Yes.
That doesn't buy you time.
No, agreed. That's why I have a hard time believing that they don't take the quarterback at six or try. Especially because they've been one of the teams, too, that's rumored to be trying to get up to three to make sure they get the quarterback.
Well, and it also resets your clock. So if you're going to be on that five-year window with a first-round quarterback, how close do you think you are to winning and competing? Can you put together a championship-caliber team in the next 5 years with this guy as your QB?
Well, it's one of the in all honesty, it's the other, outside of the injury stuff, it's the other reason why I would move off of Daniel Jones. My team is not ready to make it. My team is not ready to win at a rate that would make it make sense for me to be paying my quarterback that much money. Like, to be paying Daniel Jones $40 million, there has to be winning that comes with that, and there's not winning that comes with that. So why would I pay him all that money?
Fair. Very, very, very fair. All right. We'll get back to the phone calls here in a little bit. We'll get into some Knicks. But right now, it's time for Stuff You Missed, right, RJ?
Now,
see ya.
Bang!
Touchdown!
Rebound score!
The sh** you missed.
Oh, yes. Bleep, you missed.
Yeah, me paying for parking. That's the first thing.
Look,
that's
at how
tough.
Upset, look at how upset he is.
That, well, that's tough because he has such a great parking spot.
Yeah, why don't you just tell me? I would have said, hey, Dan.
I forgot. It's my fault. It's my fault. Because the crime of it is you can actually pay before you have to pay. And I totally whiffed on it.
Mm. Right. It's because you want to be a social butterfly in between all the breaks. You want to leave the studio. You want to go fly around.
Well, you talk too. Up.
Yeah, I do too.
You're talking too. You're a social butterfly.
Right. But I didn't also have to worry about parking because I go in the garage.
Animal.
Tough. Touched on this earlier around the league, but in case you didn't miss it, Gerard Mayo says the Pats are open to trading that number 3 overall pick, and Mike Tomlin, who is sweating profusely at the owners' meetings when he spoke this morning, says...
Give him a towel.
Russell Wilson is the early front-runner to start at quarterback for the Steelers as of right now over Justin Fields. Also, Legarius Sneed is headed to the Titans in a trade. Men's hoops bracket. Not a lot of surprises. A couple of 5 seeds, San Diego State, Gonzaga, number 6 Clemson, number 11 NC State. Those are your 4 teams by seed unexpected to be here. The rest is chalk. So I ask the 2 of you quickly. UConn or the field, who are you taking?
UConn. Nothing's changed.
Yeah, seems that way. Seems that way.
I found my bracket, by the way, guys. Found it.
You feel good about it?
Oh, that's good.
No, I don't feel great about it, no.
No?
No.
I'm sorry.
Thank you, though.
I mean, we're up against each other in competition, so I guess by that nature, I kind of hope you lose.
You feel good about your bracket?
No.
What do you mean, no?
It's been too chalky. I feel like it's going to get a little wild here. Because this is the one bracket I took UConn in, and it seems so obvious now that I actually have concerns that I want to get on the other side now.
I don't know who's beating them, RJ.
I don't know either. I took them. Yeah.
San Diego State, I mean, that would be one hell of a story to lose the national championship and then come back and beat them the next year in the Sweet 16, but...
Yep. UConn, first defending champ to make the Sweet 16 since Duke did it in 2016. Fun fact, by the way, UNC, North Carolina, who is also remaining in the Sweet 16, their average starting 5 age is 4 months younger than the starting 5 of the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yeah.
Veteran-laden group.
We got Armando Bacot, who's in commercials while you're watching North Carolina games during the tournament.
Dave and I talked about this. I mean, Dave said he's making like $3 million a year, which is for Armando Bacot.
That's nice.
That's nice money.
Well, that's why you got guys staying in school now longer because of NIL.
Yeah, Armando Bacot, I mean, this is
well,
is
plus
it for
he's
him.
Not going to be, I mean, he's not going to be
no.
in the NBA when he's in
well,
college.
That's why those guys stay. No. They transfer, they hit the portal, and then they go someplace where a school with money is going to give them NIL stuff, and that's how they capitalize.
Well, I enjoy watching you. I mean, I'm not a UNC fan, but for that reason, like RJ Davis, Bacot, you know some of these guys. Dusty May, by the way, of FAU, going to be the next Michigan head coach.
Well, what's the juicy matchup, by the way,
that
with the storyline?
Sounds like a porn actress, Dusty May.
I knew you were going to say something. I just knew it.
By the way, that is such a layup.
Florida Atlantic played like they knew their coach was going to be leaving because that is a team. Good. It's like the same team that went to the Final Four last year, and they played so
against Northwestern.
Yeah, no, but all year. I mean, think about it. All year, they were so up and down. It was almost like, let's wait to flick the switch when the real season gets here, and they couldn't even do that.
Yeah.
How often you flick the switch, Dan?
Women's bracket. LSU storms back. Sweet 16 over Middle Tennessee State with their coach threatening litigation against the Washington Post. That's a nice backdrop. Iowa, back in action tonight. Caitlin Clark in action.
Caitlin Clark's dad was not happy with her doing all the complaining.
Stop complaining, it seemed.
Let's play some basketball.
She got punched
tonight
in the face.
She did get punched right in the face.
That was very blatant.
I have a update, RJ, at some point when you're done with the simming.
Oh, boy. What's this pertain to?
This is about the NCAA brackets.
Oh, well, I guess we're kind of in and out. Would you like to give us the update?
I have the update. Day 3 results. Best point total on the show. RJ Santillo currently in 3rd place in the big Dave Rothenberg pool.
Overall?
Yeah, you got 38 nice points.
That's nice.
Oh, well, he's killing it. Where's the
by the way,
standings?
There's another RJ in this draft or in this league, which I don't love that.
No, I don't love that. Okay. That's on Dave, though.
Oh, look at you. 35. You're right there.
Where'd you get the standings from?
He
sends
email.
An email.
Electronic mail.
I didn't get the email.
That's because you got AOL.
No, but so I've been getting his emails.
Telling you
Dan
what he thinks
of 33 points.
Ooh.
How many does the leader have?
40.
40.
But I still got a lot of my teams left, so that's where I'm going to
make up.
Let's
look at where Anita is. Anita has like 52 brackets in here. He's a 31.
Yeah, what is up with that? You do one.
Oh, Santi, you had a tumble from grace, Santi.
I mean, listen, I'm just happy to be involved.
I can't believe Joe Leo actually went into this pool after the way Dave treats him.
Well, did you see what he wrote? I'm not even going to repeat it. What he wrote about him. I mean, it's not nice. I mean, this one doesn't have the comments, but the other one did. Anyway, overlooked apparently was the referee background check in the Chattanooga NC State women's game. You see this?
No.
Tommy Paris was one of the refs in the game. Removed from the game because it was learned at halftime, she received a master's from Chattanooga.
Fine, wow. Institution.
Yeah, conflict.
How does that happen?
Conflict of interest.
How does that happen?
So she was removed from the game and swapped out for another referee. Russell Westbrook back sometime this week. Brandon Ingram for the Pel is going to miss a couple of weeks with a knee issue.
Well, that was nasty looking when he did it.
Yeah. Hockey over the weekend. Boy, what a game on Saturday. Jeremy Panarin scores twice. And deciding to go in the shootout, Rangers rally 4-3 win over the Panthers. They are the top seed in the East right now. Not a good night for the Islanders. I'm sorry, Rick. They lose 4-0 to the Devils. Kaapo Kähkönen picks a heck of a time for his first shutout of the season. Isles, 4 points out with 11 to play.
Yeah, not great.
No. What was great, TJ Oshie? 1,000th career game. Congratulations to the Caps, who hold that 8 seed, the team the Isles are chasing. He had a couple assists in that game. Caps, by the way, doing that without Tom Wilson, serving a 6-game suspension.
And without the best version of Ovechkin this season, either.
Right. I think he had 19 goals in his first, 50-some-odd games of the year, and he's got 8 in his last 5, so he's heating up. Marlins over the Mets 5-1. Tyler McGill, 5 innings, gives up 3. Zach Short, who made the team, gets 2 hits. Who did not make the team? Mark Vientos, sent to Syracuse.
I've been there, man. What a terrible conversation that is.
That is tough, especially because J.D. Martinez needs at least another 10 days to ramp up and get ready for the season. So that is...
You tried to make it on a big league baseball team?
No, I did not. I would love to play big league baseball. It did take a couple out of Shea, but I'm just saying that conversation where it's like, hey, we're going to send you down.
That's...
When you think you're going to make the team.
Blame the owner.
Seems like there's a Mark Vientos. There's a problem.
Well, he's not good defensively either.
Well, they said that. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not on the Mark Vientos bandwagon. Maybe I'll be proven wrong one day, but I don't. And you know what? I'm not there on Brett Beatty either.
Vientos had some good pop.
The JD Martinez signing is so seriously. I know it's people aren't really geeked up for it. That was such a good move to get him at that price. That you know what? Even if it doesn't work out, guess what? You flip him at the deadline, and you might get something in the future that could help you.
Yeah. Absolutely. Some other prospects. Wyatt Langford, big prospect for the Rangers. He makes a big club. Jackson Holliday does not. Top prospect of the Orioles. He'll start the season in the minors. Brandon Woodruff officially out the entire season. We'll see him again in 2025. Yankees lose in a cool setting. Not a good result, but Diablos Rojos and Robinson Cano in Mexico City. They're going to play again there today. Cano hit a home run, had 3 hits, 2 RBIs.
Failed the steroid test.
Wow. Trevor Bauer also pitched in this game for the Diablos, who earlier in the week signed him for 5 games. Bauer gave up 4 hits, no runs, in 3 innings with 3 strikeouts. U.S. men's national team beats Mexico in the Nations League final 2-0. Wins that competition for their third title in a row there. Tyler Adams, just a dandy of a goal in that match. And Igor Severino's UFC career lasted 1.5 rounds because he was disqualified because he bit Andre Lima, which you cannot do. You can't do that.
Is he the one who got the tattoo of the bite mark?
Around the bite mark, yeah.
That's interesting.
Can't do that. By the way, I saw Citi Field going to introduce a cookie egg roll, which is a rainbow cookie.
You see that?
Yeah.
Raspberry jam, chocolate syrup, and a fried egg roll wrapper.
Troubling.
We're also going to have this LED light display, too, at Citi Field.
I think I'm going to procure one of these things when we're out there.
Are you going to get the egg roll?
I had the rainbow cookie. Yeah,
I haven't been there in a couple of years.
Why don't you come
City
to the
Field?
Why don't you come to the pregame?
I didn't go to a game last year.
You got to come out.
Come to the pregame on May 2nd.
It's been decided. You got
to
come out.
Come on.
I'm not going to the game.
Well, stop it. Don't be a baby.
Okay.
And do what?
Hang out with us.
What do you mean,
taking a ball game.
Hang out
Have
in the parking
fun.
Lot?
Yes.
No, then we go into the game.
When is this, May 2nd?
May 2nd. You got nothing to do. You got no kids. You got a house that's too big, and you want a bigger house. You know how many rooms there are.
Ray, is there probably going to be a playoff game that night?
There may be, but we'll figure it out.
Just say you don't want to come.
What day of the week is that?
It's a Thursday, right? Mm. So there'll probably be a game. It'll be a TNT, Knicks, against whoever.
It's just making up games.
You'd be out of the first round by then. So.
Anyways, and if you missed it, I'm in third place in Dave's pool. So that's the stuff you missed.
Wow.
I missed the email.
That's a rare case of RJ not being humble.
Well, because it's going to fall apart next weekend, so I'm going to enjoy it while it's here. It's all going to fall apart.
Maybe you don't get the email because you don't want to be part of the team.
No, because I talk too much crap about your email, and this is the cyber gods sticking it back to me that I didn't get this email.
Who's the one of us that has their voicemail still?
I know.
Dum-dum?
Well, I didn't know that's how you can't say that I did it intentionally.
Well, you opened your mouth.
Hey, Buster, how you doing? It's Rick DiPietro calling.
RJ.
Yes.
Did you get in touch with Mel?
So I reached out, and the package was received.
Yes.
So we're going to line up the next outing.
Nice. Nice. This is what I do for us, Dan.
What do you do? Who's Mel? What is it? You got to fill me in.
Of the Kuiper variety.
Oh, really?
Mel Gibson. No, Mel Kuiper, you jackass.
Well, you know what? If you're friends with Mel Gibson, that's your thing, you know? Talk a little Lethal Weapon.
Yeah, right. No, Mel Kuiper.
What'd you send him?
I sent him whipped cream.
That's disgusting.
What do you mean it's disgusting?
Not a whipped cream guy.
He eats fat-free whipped cream every single day. How can you not like whipped cream?
I don't like it.
So you get that beautiful pie from Stop and Shop, no whipped cream on it.
Apple, I got to get it, right? We got the Easter holiday coming up this weekend.
Is that's your one thing that you have to do?
Got
to
have it.
You're unbelievable. You put ice cream on that thing?
No.
Nothing?
No, I'm not an animal.
You just bareback it?
Yeah, just bareback it, baby.
Disgusting.
There you go.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
We haven't done any Knicks yet. They got a game tonight against the Detroit Pistons. Don't know if you heard. Did you see the lineup the Pistons, by the way, put out there yesterday? Against the New Orleans Pelicans. Like, nobody played.
Nope.
Nobody. Cade Cunningham did not play. He's their best player. Monty Williams was asked after the game, well, why didn't he play? He had, like, no logical answer.
Like, yeah, because there probably wasn't one.
So he didn't play. Quentin Grimes is down. Taj Gibson is down. The center was down. Couple of other guys too. So I don't. Maybe they map it out because it was a back to back. I don't know. But the Knicks got to be able to take care of business tonight. Like, don't even make it interesting. Don't even give them hope.
No, that's the thing with bad teams. I mean, the coaches used to tell us that all the time. Don't play with your food. Do not give this team any reason to believe that they have any chance to win this game. Get on them early. Let them know what tonight's going to be about, and then that they have no chance. Zion had a big night, too. 36 points against the Pistons.
Well, against the Pistons. That's why. And I'll tell you, I don't know if I saw this coming, but the Deuce McBride resurgence is really refreshing. You know what I mean? And I think that it speaks volumes to, again, how this organization is bringing in players, drafting, developing players, to now where you have a guy who, you know, he was playing a little bit. But his spot in the rotation was still kind of up for grabs. And remember, I think that if they really and truly believed in Deuce McBride, they wouldn't have gone out there and brought in the two guys from Detroit at the deadline. But they brought in Alec Burks and Bogdanovich, especially Burks, thinking that he would leapfrog McBride in the rotation. Well, guess what's happened? It's been Deuce McBride. He started the last few games, and now it's gotten to the point where he plays 48 minutes on Saturday. Like, how did this happen?
Well, it happened for exactly the reasons that you just said it happened.
But I give him credit. That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm giving him credit.
Well, you have to give all these guys credit. You have to give Isaiah Hartenstein credit. Like, guys that have stepped up. Like, I was reading something. I think it was Alan that maybe put it, where he was responding to some tweet where, you know, the Knicks are in the midst of the season where everyone's having their best seasons. And Alan's retort to that was, or maybe it's a bunch of guys that are finally given the, you know, being given the proper opportunity that are actually reaching what their potential could be. Like, I mean, Hartenstein said it when he was given the chance. Like, listen, I always thought I was capable of doing this, but I never got the opportunity. So given the opportunity, he turns into what we've seen. Now, you know, the real Isaiah Hartenstein looks like he's back after dealing with the Achilles. You know, they easily gave credit to the doctors and to the coaching staff, kind of easing him back, and he's been really good. Ducey, same thing, right? Like, I mean, he's coached right, developed right, got the kind of, you know, the kind of personality, work ethic you hear. You know, Tibbs talks about it all the time, gym rats. We want gym rats. That, you know, he puts in the work and then given the opportunity, and he's taken full advantage of it. Now, did anyone expect him to be able to do what he's doing right now? I mean, got play 48 minutes. And this is not the first time he's done this either. Right. And give you what he's been giving you? Probably not. But I think it's a testament to the coaching staff that people love to criticize. That Todd, you know, Tibbs plays his players too much. They're going to wear it down, whatever it ends up being. But, like, you have a group of players right now that believe in what they're doing, that will never be outworked, and have a real opportunity here. As we get towards the end of the season, hopefully get OG back and at some point Randall. Like, you're sitting there looking like, do you know how important it would be to get that three seed with how this stupid NBA playoffs are set up?
And you're a half game out right now. Because how about Cleveland? How about the mail-in from them last night? They went down to Miami and lost by about 48 points.
Yep.
That team is in free fall. And
well,
I know
you
the Mitchell's
whole, you
not
the whole
there.
Donovan Mitchell stuff, yeah.
Right, I understand, but three is absolutely feasible. Now, you brought up OG. What's your level of concern? Because we don't know anything. You know, he obviously re-aggravated that thing when they were out on the West Coast. He hasn't played since. He's not playing tonight. I mean, it wouldn't shock me at all if the Knicks come out and say, we're going to shut OG down for the rest of the regular season. And who knows where he's going to be come playoff time. I hope it doesn't come to that. But, I mean, at this point, look at how much time he missed last time. How do we know that he's going to be returning, like, next week? We got no clue.
Well, we don't. I mean, the only thing I would say is that, you know, you want to be cautious because, again, you're playing a team that you feel like you can beat anyway without him. From everything I've heard, and you could tell me if I'm wrong, he doesn't seem like the kind of guy that loves to play through pain a lot, right? Like, that's one of the things you heard as he came in here from Toronto. He doesn't like to play through pain. If they're telling us the truth, MRI came back clean.
And that's, you have to think long and hard then about investing major dollars in him then once the summer gets here.
He'd be so hard pressed not to, though, man.
I know, but you just, like, look at his track record. He's missed a lot of time in Toronto too.
Right.
There's only really been 1 year where he's played, like, the majority of the games. Other than that, like, he's always hurt, and the Knicks are finding that out the hard way. Not that he's, like, reckless or anything, but just he's one of these guys that's, you know, unfortunately is prone to seeing the injury bug.
Yeah, one of those guys that needs to be, like, I play with guys like that, that just, they need to be pretty much 100% for them to feel comfortable playing.
Alexei Yashin, one of those guys?
No, we had other guys that would come in and, like, they'd self-diagnose. They'd be like, yo, this shoulder's like 80%. This one's at, like, you know, we're like, well, are you playing or not? Like, I don't care what percentage your shoulders are at or your leg. Like, what are we playing or what are we doing? Can you play or not? I just think, I mean, he's the proof is in the pudding with him, though, man. He's out there. They barely lose when he plays. How do you not bring that back?
Yeah. Well, you've got games, right? Detroit tonight. Toronto Wednesday, San Antonio Friday. Those got to be wins. Those all have to be wins.
Yeah, and I fully expect them to be wins.
Because then it gets a little trickier. Then Oklahoma City, Miami, Sacramento. You still got a Milwaukee, a Boston the rest of the way. But next three, you got to put in the win column if you want to make a legitimate push to get that three seed.
And let's talk about how important the three seed is. You finish three. That makes it so you don't have to see the Celtics until the Eastern Conference Finals if you make it that far.
Correct.
If you don't, then you're going to get the Celtics in the second round if you get through it.
And you know what the Celtics are? At least now, in my opinion, in the Eastern Conference, the Celtics are UConn. It's the Celtics.
And then everyone else.
And then everybody else.
Yep.
There really is
a ton of pressure on them, though.
They are on their own level right now compared to the rest of the conference.
Yeah, but there's also a lot of pressure that comes with that. A lot of pressure.
But I think they're better equipped to handle it than they were last year. I know that the coach is better equipped. Because the coach was like a deer in the headlights last year. We didn't even know if he'd be brought back for a second season, given the circumstances they were under. But he's done a much better job handling things this year, aside from trying to, you know, block a guy's shot when, you know, the whistle had been blown already, which was kind of weird.
Well, at least he didn't do it during the game, trying to block his own player's shot, like James Harden did.
Like a Woody Hayes or something like that.
Did you see that James Harden clip?
Yeah, it's James
Harden. What's wrong with him?
Well, we don't have enough time left in the show to talk about what's wrong with James Harden.
What do you think Kawhi was thinking? As he goes to shoot the corner three and James Harden comes out to contest it.
Free agency in the summer.
In light of what's going on with Ohtani, that doesn't like raise alarms to you?
Can you imagine that? Trying to block his own teammate.
Wait, I had a three-team parlay. No. Oh,
right. Jake Montgomery running the 20-team parlay. I got a $3 20-teamer.
Found out a lot of disturbing things about the people we work with.
Yeah.
You really do, don't you?
The longer you're here. You never know what comes up.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
Let's get back to the phones. What do you say?
Yeah, you've been too chatty today. Let's take some calls.
Yeah, how dare I? It's radio. Subi's in Midtown. He's next. Hi, Subi. Good morning.
Hey, guys, when you guys have Mel on, you're going to have to ask him if Brock Bowers is Kelce year one, because if he's not, then he's not the physical specimen that he looks on a game tape in college. I mean, essentially, we need a playmaker year one, the Jets do, and if he's not Kelce year one, then we don't need him. That's it.
Kelce wasn't Kelce year one, if you remember, Subi. He wasn't that great. He didn't have as big of an impact in his rookie season.
How about Sam Laporta year one?
We'll take that.
I take that.
Take that, definitely. Ken in Connecticut up next. Hello, Ken.
Hey, what's up, boys?
What's up?
You know, it looks like Kentucky basketball probably could have used a life hack. But I have a quick football what-if for you. So let's say Daniel Jones and Aaron Rodgers, they swap teams for this year. All of the talent stays the same. Do you think Aaron Rodgers is making that big a difference on the Giants this year? And would that be the year that Daniel Jones just, you know, has that breakout season now that he would finally have weapons?
Yeah, I don't know I don't know if Daniel Jones is capable of having a breakout season.
I don't think I think the best you could possibly hope for is what you saw him at his best moments 2 years ago.
Yeah, I think the biggest indictment for me watching Daniel Jones play last year was, I mean, he had the second half against Arizona, but when he played, I mean, Paris Campbell didn't end up working out. Darren Waller wasn't healthy, which is something he's dealt with.
Didn't Paris Campbell just sign with the Eagles, too?
He did.
Everybody's going to Philadelphia.
Everyone's going to Philly. But when you watch those guys play with Daniel Jones, it's like, where are these guys? Where's Jalen Hyatt? When you saw that offense, the way it worked with Tyrod Taylor, it looked better. It did. It looked more explosive with Tyrod Taylor. It looked better with DeVito. It looked better. And then on top of that, he had a couple injuries. He had the neck, and then he ends up blowing his ACL out.
Is that like a Jets situation? Remember when making the case like every other quarterback that came in besides Zach Wilson was able to run the offense and produce, and then when Zach Wilson was in there, it kind of nosedived.
Well, I mean, you saw it. You watched all those games.
Yeah.
Like, it was Mike LaFleur. He stinks. But then you saw the other quarterbacks in that offense. You're like, well, maybe that offense isn't – maybe Mike LaFleur doesn't stink. Right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I would have a hard time hitching my wagon to Daniel
Jones. Well, here's
Jones
the thing with Daniel Jones. Unfortunately, and this happens all the time in sports, I think he got caught up in the wrong situation – where the team and he were not on the same timeline as far as they're ready to contend versus where he was in his development. And it just never synced up except for that one season when they weren't really to compete yet. That was a surprise year. And now everybody came back to the pack last year and you come into this season and this team isn't ready to take off yet. But he's not going to be given the opportunity to pilot this offense when they are ready to be a legitimate contender. And sometimes that happens in sports, especially in football.
Yeah, I can't justify paying the amount of money that he's being paid.
You can't.
For the level of production.
And that's why they're getting out of it after this year. Tommy's in Connecticut. He's next. Tommy, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, boys. I'll make it quick. Ricky, being a goalie, if you were Bobrovsky, would that Mika.
What Mika did to him?
First goal bothered you last night or the other night?
Yeah, I saw it.
It was a great play.
Filthy. But what are your thoughts on the Eastern Conference shaking out?
I probably would have tried to did two-hand him in the back for embarrassing me like that. My thoughts on the Eastern Conference. Let me tell you this. Are you a Rangers fan? Or are you hung up on him?
I didn't hang up on him. He hung up on himself.
That was Santiago.
No, that was all me.
He's got his trigger finger.
It sounded like he was done. I didn't think he was going to hang
up. Let me say this. The most, if I was a Rangers fan, the thing that would excite me the most about these last couple wins was who was responsible for these last couple wins. Because if you're going to go anywhere in the playoffs, or if you're going to go where you want to go in the playoffs, Artemi Panarin is going to have to be a big part of it. And he hasn't. And the fact that he's stepped up and been as good as he's been in these last couple games against playoff teams is a really positive sign here as you get closer to the playoffs, in my opinion.
I agree, because look,
Well, who are you going to shut down, right? If you're another team, who are you going to shut down? It's him. It's him and Adam Fox, right? Because, I mean, Mika has not had a good season. They do not generate enough 5-on-5. If you can slow their power play down and you can shut down Panarin, you got a really good chance.
And Panarin's a guy that come the playoffs, that's still a question that you need to have answered, correct?
That's right. That's right. And he's been awesome. He has been awesome, but you're going to need him to be awesome because the East has got some really good teams in it.
And unfortunately, he's a guy that can have, you know, he's going to have a 100-point season, you know, and if he doesn't get it done in the playoffs and if he lays an egg, that's all he's going to be remembered for this year, unfortunately.
He's where Julius Randle's at right now, the Knicks.
Except he's healthy.
Same kind of spot, except he's healthy.
Except he's healthy. Like, he doesn't have a built-in excuse.
Nope.
And I'll tell you, the depth is, you know, having a guy like Chad Ruedel who had to go in there the other night because now you're down two defensemen, that's why you go out and get a guy like that.
Correct.
It's not fancy, but it's depth.
Right. You understand what you're doing right now, too, right?
In what way?
You're eating up Raymond's 3 stars right now.
No, it's not 3 stars time yet.
He's got a different clock.
Oh, what is this clock? You guys did it to me again?
Yeah, that's right.
This clock is the worst. This clock is into the 3 stars.
You can't see my clock. It's right here. You should be able to see my clock. You don't see it?
I see the clock.
See, he sees the clock, but
we're
the
catering,
clock,
we're
the
catering
clock for
the
you
offense
is different than the clock for Dave.
This is an offense catered to Grasa.
Exactly.
I was getting so nervous. I'm like, oh, no. Ram's not going to have enough time.
Well, you know what? He does have enough time now. Ray, it's time for 3 stars.
Today's 3 stars. Number 3.
Now, see, that's fitting because star number 3, like, the end of the show, kind of a cluster there. The beginning of the show was also kind of a cluster, and there were issues with emails. It turns out that RJs were just getting out a little bit late, and I guess I can attest to that now. Rick, you're kind of off the hook for
your
email not working.
Thank you.
But to me, the highlight is, you know, we have the Zoom set up for the pre-show, for the pre-show, and what I'm looking at the entire time that we're talking to Dan, he looks like he's about to drop some breaking news like Kevin Weeks, because all I see was the top of his head.
That's half the face, yeah.
So technical difficulties. Do you have any breaking NHL news that you want to give to us, Dan?
No, I don't have any NHL news, no.
Just wanted to make sure. And I'm going to just move on to number 2 because this is wide orbit. This is going number two.
Yeah, I was going to say, was I supposed to add anything more to that?
No, because stuff is not firing. I wanted to offer my congratulations to Kyle and Lauren. Thanks for calling back in because we got our update there. Now I can't even play the drops. It sucks. This thing is falling.
Nah.
I
mean,
it's like
there we go.
Oh no!
Oh no, Lauren. Number one. Dan, we'll get. I hear Purple Belt Mike might have a solution for you for your voicemail situation. And,
okay.
Listen, voices are very important to you. We all know that very much. I had hearing Cookie Monster, hearing Elmo.
Me think they're too hot to be at Sesame Place all day.
Elmo don't want to pay $7 for water. That's too much money.
Also, translating to Kim Mulkey and Oscar Pistorius. Great stuff.
I did not do what is in this story.
Oh, me, somebody's in the loo. Better see who it is.
I'd love to hear all those people in your voicemail there, Dan.
They're going to be all in one room together. We're going to do a reality show with the whole house. All the voices, they're all going to be there. Ray, great job with the 3 stars, as always. Thanks to RJ, thanks to Ray. Hey, Rick, how about a little Rule 76, my friend?
No excuses, playing a champion is DiPietro Grasa and
Alexa Yashin.
987 ESPN.
And you'd say...
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.